Rick Rouse and I, and probably 50 other pastors of Lutheran and Episcopalian congregations, went together for a workshop earlier this week. It was on Thursday, and it was in Seattle. And Dr. Raymond Pickett, one of my more and more one of my favorite theologians, and kind of commander in chief of my seminary, Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary, in Berkeley, California. He was the keynote speaker. And it was lovely. It was down there at St. Mark's, you know, the wonderful cathedral up on the hill there, and the sun was shining, and there was a little bit of a breeze, and the trees were kind of back and forth, and I kept looking out the window, and I'm in here, and I want to be out there. But he got my attention because his topic was the challenges of preaching in the Northwest. You think you know something about that, huh? He started off with kind of a reality check, and Pickett picked some Pew research to help sort of set the context and the scene. And some of that I knew, and some of that I didn't. One was that Americans that are white and self-identify as Christian represent just less than, what's your guess? What percentage? Christians who are white and who are willing to participate in the survey amount to how much of the population of the United States? About 50%. About 50. If you were to narrow that down a little bit and ask the Protestant white Christians in the United States, that's actually about 30%. In 1976, it was 80%. Do you see? Nationwide, about a quarter of Americans describe themselves as religiously unaffiliated. In the Northwest, it's actually way more than that. 56% of Americans say they are spiritual but not religious. You know, that's the little box that they check on the form. Spiritual but not religious. So the Pew Research people pressed that a little bit, wanted to find out, dig out some more about that sensibility. And the number one reason given for not associating with any particular religious organization or faith community, what do you suppose was the number one reason? It wasn't, I'm sick and tired of that pastor. No, maybe some would say that, but the number one reason was not, I don't believe in God. The number one reason was not, I'm too busy. The number one reason people gave for not associating with a particular religious organization or faith community was the perception that the church or the institution represented something that was against their values. Does that get your attention? That the church or the religious organization does not share their own values, their values of care for the earth, inclusion of LGBTQ people, affirmation that science is real, or that diversity matters, or economic justice matters, or care for the most vulnerable, that those values just weren't shared by the faith community. I decided at that point to go back out in the parking lot and stand under the trees and, you know, look at the great city of Seattle from on top of the hill. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. In Koine Greek, in the original language of the New Testament, the word there for spirit is pneuma. And I've said this before, it's a feminine noun, but it's one that it talks about wind or breath or spirit. That whole collection of ideas is really all the same vocabulary. Is that pneuma here? Is that pneuma in this place? Are we under the influence of pneuma? Come, Holy Spirit, come. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. The truth of our times. The truth of the reality of where we really are. About 25 years ago, my favorite movie was one that starred Jack Nicholson and Tom Cruise. And maybe you remember this one. Do you remember the title of it? A Few Good Men. See, that some of you are from my generation. You might know it. It might be worth clicking around on Netflix. You can find it. It's a good watch for the summertime. But like so many of movies of that era and that time, it's about rough and tough military culture and people and this Marine base, except there's a murder. And so then what happens is this trial, this prosecution, this investigation of trying to figure out who done it and why. But of course, that's very difficult, right? Because of the code. The culture of the organization will not allow some things to come out and be visible and be spoken. So Nicholson, of course, is the commander. You know, he's the boss. And this young punk Cruise, you know, his character is one of the lawyers. And there's all this drama and this courtroom scene of investigating and trying to get to the bottom of things. In the 30-second scene that I'm going to show you in just a second, Cruise's character presses Nicholson's character, the commander, and he wants information. And it's there in a courtroom, and it's quite intense and all the rest. But Nicholson is reluctant, right, because of the code. Because some things are just too heavy. Some things are just too difficult. Some things are just too much to bear. Terry?
Your Honor, I'd like to ask for a recess.
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
The court will wait for an answer.
If Lieutenant Kendrick gave an order that Santiago wasn't to be touched, then why did he have to be transferred? Colonel, Lieutenant Kendrick ordered the code red, didn't he? Because that's what you told Lieutenant Kendrick to do.
Object!
And when it went bad, you cut these guys loose!
Your Honor, you had
Marcus
inside
a
bony transport!
Your Honor, you doctored the logbook!
Damn it, Captain!
You coerced the doctor!
Consider yourself in contempt!
Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled to.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Do you remember that one? Yeah. Now you'll be thinking of that. So you'll watch. I can't show you the rest of the scene because there's language there that. You can't handle. I mean, you just want to repeat the line. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Are we really sure we want the truth? The truth about our church. The truth about our community. Wow. The truth about ourselves. The truth can be beautiful and liberating. The truth can be refreshing and graceful. But honestly, sometimes the truth is also the hardest thing that we ever have to face. Peeling away pretense, exposing some of those raw details, revealing the layers of half-truth that we like to set up and organize for ourselves. Oh, all the ways that we blame others, the ways that we blame circumstances, the ways that we blame the opposition, all the ways we locate the problem, not here, but somewhere else. If we could just get rid of that secular culture, if we could just get rid of the people on the other side, if we could just get rid of that one who's in charge. About the time that movie, I don't know, did it win an Academy Award? I can remember I was driving to church. I think I've told this story before. But I was in a hurry. There was a meeting and there was people waiting to see me. And I'm a pretty important guy. So, you know, I was in a rush. I wanted to get there. And, of course, from my house here, the most direct way is Beverly Drive. And the speed limit on Beverly Drive is 25. And, well, you know, I, that's a... a suggestion. I got there, and I, you know, of course, I'm looking at my watch, and I come up behind this Buick that's going 24. There's not enough room to get around, and I better not try it. School will be out in a second. There are going to be kids everywhere. Okay. So I try to suck it up, and I try to be patient, and I find myself just creeping up closer and closer, riding the bumper of this Buick. As we get closer to church, the hotter I get, and I blink my lights. And it's about that time that I can see the person driving the Buick in front of me kind of do one of those head checks. You look up at the rearview mirror, and I could see that, and I could catch a couple of eyeballs. Okay, now we have eye contact. This is personal now. 23 miles an hour. And we get to the intersection out here by Mukilteo Boulevard, and I realize that that car's not turning. And it goes straight through the intersection. Sure enough, on comes the right turn indicator and into the driveway at Our Savior's Lutheran Church. At 5 miles an hour, you know. So I go, well, okay. So I get in there, and sure enough, it's Marv Grefsrud. And he gets out of his car, and he carefully locks it, and he looks at me, and he says, are you on your way to a fire, Pastor? He just told me the truth, right? He just told me the truth. I'd been caught. You will know the truth. Shirley Murray is a hymn writer. I think we have a picture of Shirley. In 1987, she wrote a hymn, and it's one that we'll be singing together in just a couple of minutes. And one of her, I think, best ones is this one. It's called Loving Spirit. It's about the Holy Spirit, this truth that pervades and attaches. But she doesn't use just sort of assertive theological language. The poem, the lyric of this hymn is lovely because she frames it all in terms of relationship. She frames it all in terms of human connections one with another. And it's really something like a prayer. So if you want to pray this with me, if you want to close your eyes, can I offer it up now? Just a few stanzas. Loving Spirit, you have chosen me. You have drawn me to your wonder. You have set your sign on me. Like a mother, you enfold me. Hold my life within your own. Feed me with your very body. Form me of your flesh and bone. Like a father, you protect me. Teach me the discerning eye. Hoist me up upon your shoulder and let me see the world from on high. Friend and lover, in your closeness I am known and held and blessed. In your promise is my comfort, in your presence my rest. Loving Spirit, you have chosen me. You have drawn me to your wonder. You have set your sign on me. Amen. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. I don't know if Jesus sounded like Tom Cruise. I kind of doubt it. But can you hear Jack Commander Nicholson say, you can't handle the truth? It's probably true. But what if the truth can handle us? If we're embraced by the truth and chosen by the truth, forgiven by the truth, loved by the truth, today and always, amen.